The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday, the end of another week, and you're not going to believe how hot it is right now. It's 105 degrees on the West Coast in Oregon at 7:07 Pacific Time, 105. It's supposed to be 108 tomorrow in the daytime. I think this has to be the hottest summer on record, and there are many areas around the country, especially in the West, that are suffering from the same kind of thing. It got hot in June this year. It doesn't usually get hot until July, middle of July. It's been hot right on through. Crazy out there. It's a Harry Cooper night tonight. It's a Shark Hunters night, and we always have fun with Harry Cooper. Sharkhunters.com is the location you want to go to if you're a World War II veteran, have an interest in World War II, or you're parents, either one of them served in some capacity in the war, and you want to find out more about World War II, the submarine aspect of it in particular, but all aspects are covered by all sorts of veterans at Shark Hunters. It's a phenomenal site. The monthly magazine that comes out is, well, you've got to go there and look at the DVDs, look at the books, especially Hitler in Argentina, which has really made its mark on the world, certainly spawned a lot of new careers in people who have stolen from it. But this is the real deal. This is the book, Hitler in Argentina. And check out, well, look at the other books. I want to get Harry on here and say hello. So I'll do that. Hello, Harry. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine. And you?
I'm tired, and it's been hot. So, you know, it takes a lot out of you.
That's what you were saying. They said on TV the other day, this is the hottest, that was the hottest July ever on record.
In the whole country?
Yeah.
Oh, I believe it. Sure. Absolutely.
I guess I can't make fun of the global warming people anymore.
No, there's something going on. I'm not sure about warming. I don't like the hype of it, the politics of it. But there certainly are climate irregularities. These things throughout the millennia, though. Remember, the planet, friends, has been here for 4.5 billion years. And these kind of cycles and little bumps in the graph are probably very common over time. In fact, I think the human race, or certainly something similar to the human race, has arisen and destroyed itself on this planet many times in the past. And we're getting close to doing that again, it looks like. crazy
out
there.
Theories that that we're third or fourth time around for population on this earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course you remember the ice age when everything froze up north. Florida was a whole lot bigger, and the Bahamas was almost a small little continent out there.
Absolutely.
If it keeps melting, you know, I'm 15 miles in from the coast. If it keeps melting, I'll have beachfront property before long.
Well, wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot going on at sharkhunters.com, and I just don't even know where to begin. I just would invite all of you, if you haven't been there, by all means, go take a look and join if you want to. If not, avail yourself of what's online, and it's a lot. What we do, and Harry has time to spend with us, is we take a walk through history, and he travels to South America, he travels to Europe, he's off again to Europe here in just a few weeks for another expedition, as it were, into the past to find out and take people along. What's still left, what's fascinating, and if it's there, Harry probably knows about it. I was just looking at a very interesting page. I'll send you this page. You probably have seen it. War History Online. And 6 mind-boggling recent discoveries of World War II remnants. And these are all interesting. And let me see here if I can. It's a photo story, clockwise from left. I'll just read the captions. The interior of Goebbels' bunker, discovered December 1997.
Okay.
Number 2, an SS driver's bunker for the chauffeur, so to speak, discovered in 1996.
Oh, the Führer bunker, yeah.
Yeah. In World War II, the Kurt weather station on display at the Canadian War Museum, Ottawa. This was a remote station set up by the Germans to help them coordinate for attacks on shipping. It was
set up by U-537, I believe, brought it over.
Yeah. Well, there you go. See, Harry knows. What else is in this picture display? This is very interesting. In a Zernikow, Zernikow, Zernikow Village Forest, North Berlin, in 1992, it was discovered from the air that there was a swastika of trees in the forest.
Yeah.
And only when the leaves turn can you see the swastika.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, it's wild. That's the picture here. Even after cutting down of the 25-something of the forest swastika in 1995, the new larches, L-A-R-C-H-E-S, grew back by the year 2000 to recreate it again. Leave it alone. Come on, you people are nuts. In 2006, Japanese guns and grenades were found, discovered, in the Kokoda Track, wherever that is. It doesn't necessarily mean this is... I don't know if these are in Europe or not. And number
Kokoda
7...
Doesn't sound European, Kokoda.
No. And number 7 is the rare color photograph of the German surrender on the 4th of May, 1945. And there's also number 8, a picture of Hitler saluting his troops in Germany in 1939. And the remains of a World War II, the last picture, carrier pigeon found in 2012.
Oh, my goodness.
Still flying.
Yeah, right.
Trying to get home.
Probably on Social Security by then.
I would think. So what's going on with shark hunters?
Oh, boy, where do I begin?
See, that's why I didn't spend a lot of time this year. You've assembled, literally, one of the world's great treasuries of history. And, I mean, you can see it, read it, you can buy things and touch them and put them up on your walls, even. So.
Yeah, you're right. We're running a special right now on a hand-signed prints.
Yeah.
And as you know, nobody here gets a salary. We're all volunteers, every one of us. And we used to have a couple full-timers and a couple part-timers, but then Obama became president, and we didn't have the money to pay them anymore, so just a bit of a scramble. But yeah, we've got a lot of irons in the fire. We'll get into some of that later. But as you know, we're going over with a small group in late September, a little over a month from now, I guess, for a two-week patrol, we call them. I used to call them tours until one of our German friends said, no, no, you must call them patrols. That was my best friend in Germany, Oberleutnant Hans-Georg Hess, mm-hmm. the youngest combat commander, submarine commander ever. And so we call them patrols. This one, we're going to South Germany. We start out for a couple of days in Munich, visiting some of the historic places there. Then we go to Nuremberg, visit some more historic places there, including some places that are off limits. You know, Eingang verboten means Harry's welcome here.
That's right.
And I'm saying that in case the spitlickers are listening, because the Southern Poverty Law Center just posted it really means Harry is illegally breaking into places. I don't break.
Wait a minute. Come on. They didn't.
Oh, yes, they did.
Haven't they anything better to do, really?
Oh, they make money by pointing fingers, and some of them, I never even looked at their, they've got 8 pages of crap on there about me, claiming I'm a Nazi, which is absolutely false, claiming that Shark Hunters is a hate group, which is absolutely not true.
They're stepping across the line there.
Yeah, way over. So watch your mail in a week or two, because I'll be sending out a package of stuff. Because you're mentioned in there, too.
Oh, they've
you're
been
a radical right-wing, whatever.
I'm a nut. They've been after me for years.
Bless their hearts. Yeah. So that, and there's also some things that we'll be seeing there that I can't mention yet. But when I get back, I'll have a ton of photos that will be of, I think, of great interest. So that's what we're doing there. We're also working on our expedition to Antarctica. It looks like it's getting a little late for this year. It looks like the door is going to close for this December, January, February, because we're closing in on those dates awfully fast. But the next year, I think we're going to put it together. We can get into some of that later on, but we had one nitwit scientist from SETI, and also I guess he's with NASA, 20 years or something with NASA.
Uh-huh.
So we can talk about that later. What else are we doing? Well, that's it for now.
Is there any chance, if someone wants to jump on this upcoming trip, do you have a spot or two still available, or are you sold out again?
To South Germany? No, we're finished. We're closed.
Yeah.
We're closed. Next year, though, we'll be doing it again. The last week in September, first week in October, always. We'll probably also be putting together another patrol. I'm not quite sure yet, but we had several in the past that were really outstanding, from Berlin moving east to Warsaw. We spend time in Berlin going through bunkers and tunnels there. Also, the underground command center for East Germany. When the Soviet Union evaporated, they just walked out. And the place is exactly today as it was back whenever that was, 19, whatever the heck.
Yeah.
And everything is on springs. All the desks, chairs, beds, everything is hanging from the ceiling on springs. And the rooms themselves are built on top of large rubber blocks so that if they ever got a nuclear blast, they could sustain.
Uh-huh.
And there's documents, there's files, there's all sorts of stuff just laying there. There's telephones, computers of the early type computers. So we go through that, then we go to Volkschanze, which was where von Stauffenberg tried to blow him up.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had been to the nearby airstrip where von Stauffenberg got on the airplane to fly back to Berlin, where he proudly announced Hitler's dead and we're in charge. And the police said, no, he isn't, and no, you're not. Go stand over by this wall here, Count.
Yeah.
And so we go through the police building there where they've turned the entire second floor into a memorial for Klaus von Stauffenberg and all the rest of the people that tried to assassinate Hitler. And they've got a plaque.
What's your take on that at this point, Harry, after studying all these years? Would Stauffenberg's people have made a big difference? Who were they? Who was behind them? What do you know?
Well, not very much, because I don't get into that phase of it, but there was a general in charge of police. There was quite a lot of people, and plus anybody who knew anybody who was attached to it, like von Stauffenberg's brother was in the Navy, in the Kriegsmarine. Mm-hmm. He had nothing to do with it, but he was von Stauffenberg's brother, so he got clipped as well. So they killed a lot of people, but whether it would have made a difference, I have no idea. He and the rest of them, they're treated as heroes in Germany, and there's a bronze plaque at the wall where they stood, von Stauffenberg and the other people when they were shot. Those were the lucky ones.
I understand. Yeah,
the other guys, well, you know.
It was a slow exit.
It was a very slow, very horrible, painful exit, but that's what the Allies did to the guys that were convicted, and I use that term loosely, at Nuremberg, which were tribunals, not trials. They were not hanged the way you normally see it, drop through, snap your neck. They were also hung up to dance on the end of a rope.
That's where that expression fits, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. And I saw some of the documentation that goes with it, and their sentence was strangled, S-T-R-A-N-G-L. That was their word, strangle. So
they actually spelled it out, huh?
Yeah. And I think I told you many, many shows ago that we believe we found where Jodl's remains are. They were hanged. History says they were hanged. That's true. History says they were cremated. That's true. History says their remains were thrown into the river. No, we believe we found where Jodl's remains are. We don't have hard, firm proof because we couldn't quite get through the two big steel doors down into the cellar of the convent, we're quite sure we know where they are. So
there are many mysteries and many things yet to be discovered. We're going to spend some time tonight, and there you'll see a photos link under Harry Cooper's name and guests. Click on that when you get a chance. Load it up, but don't peek. We're going to walk through and take you on a little expedition, and that's fun. Maybe a patrol, whatever.
Sounds
you
like
want to
me
call
when
it.
I'm telling my son, "Don't look under your pillow," because that usually means I've got work for him under there. He stuffs envelopes for us.
Ah, good. All right. Okay. There are tours, not like Harry's, but there are tours in Berlin. People don't understand. In fact, our younger people now know nothing about World War II, except they might be able to spell it on a good day. There was so much construction underground, not just in Berlin, but in other cities as well. It is said.
Other countries too.
Yes. Oh, yes. One day we'll get into the Owl Mountains thing. That is an immense project. Project. But Berlin itself was so built up underground that people just wouldn't believe it. There are probably hundreds, maybe more, thousands, I don't know, of bunkers altogether. And I don't mean just a hole in the ground. I'm talking about tunnels, systems, the works. These were big deals, multi-level, with water, sewage, the whole thing.
These were like apartment buildings underground. These were not tunnels where you crawl along on your tummy. These were hallways.
Yeah, yeah. How much of Berlin existed above ground, and how much is said was built below ground in the war years.
Well, I don't know about Berlin specifically, but throughout the Third Reich, it was said that for everything they built above ground, they built about four times as much underground.
That much?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen some of these places. You go down. Well, there was one that they filled in the entrance. We still have a videotape of it. Well, it's a DVD now. Where the SS Kaserne was on Ober Salzburg, you go down three levels, and then there was a stairway going down into a fourth level, but you could only go down three or four stairs because the place had flooded. But they had underground bowling alleys, they had underground movie theaters, they had underground dance halls.
Well, it was an underground city, a city under a city, basically.
Exactly. Because, you know, the Allies kept bombing them. And if you stayed upstairs, your chances of living were pretty thin.
Yeah. They didn't bomb, for those of you who don't know, they didn't concentrate on military-industrial complexes and production centers, because the Germans basically had been well anticipating this, and they put most of them underground, so they were very hard to hit. So what did the Allies bomb? They bombed human beings, and they did it for 4 years plus, and they killed an awful lot of people. Fortunately, Germans are very smart, and they were able to sequester much of the population in underground shelters in time. So the loss of property far exceeded the loss of life.
Yeah, they had. We go into one in Berlin called Berliner Unterwerk. In other words, Berlin Underground.
Mm-hmm.
And they had whole huge dormitories, 50, 60 feet underground. And they had underground, they had showers, they had toilets, bathrooms, they had bunk rooms.
Huh.
That was what you had to do to stay alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Whole different time. No computers, no TV. Oh, yes, they had TV before, but it wasn't widely in operation. Germany had the first television, I think, in the late 30s. They had the first small TVs.
Yeah, something like that. It was invented, but there weren't any TV stations.
No, exactly. The technology was there. So you're going.
When my daughter, she's 25 now. She's a straight A student in her master's program. When she was 10, she wanted a TV set for her own room. I said, "Come on, we got three color TV sets in the house." And I said, "When I was your age, 10." I said, "We didn't even have a TV." And she says, "What was Grammy and Grandpa so poor?" I said, "No, it wasn't invented yet." Well, let's see. When I was 10, that was 1949. It was invented, but there were only three channels.
Yeah.
And TV sets cost a hell of a lot of money.
Do you want to look up online, since most of you won't be going with Harry on the tour? You can simply type in Berlin Underground Bunkers, World War II, and look up images, and there are really some remarkable pictures.
If your listeners go to the website, sharkhunters.com, and then go to previous tours, just scroll down until you find one that says Berlin.
Yeah. Some of these are...
You go.
Yeah. Some of these are just truly amazing structures under there. Remarkable. Back in just a minute. Hold on. And we'll continue for you tonight on this Friday. Okay, I'm back with Harry. And when Harry comes back from these patrols, we have always just a raft of photographs. He doesn't know how to stop taking pictures. You must have... How many pictures do you think you've taken? 10,000? 20,000?
Oh, every bit of that, because not only I take photos, but I ask everybody who's on a tour if they would please knock off a disc with all their photos on it. I'm just looking now at... I was over in the warehouse 2 days ago. Came back with two small crates full of discs, all photos that I haven't even loaded up yet.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
we're gonna smoke the internet here.
You got to clone yourself.
Yeah.
Never enough time.
Maybe the economy will improve if we get the right guy in office, and then I can hire a couple people.
Yeah, we only have one. This is the final crossroads, as I say. This is it. We either make the decision and move forward, or we're done.
We're done. Yeah. I watched. I don't mean to deviate from our main course, but I watched Trump this evening, and he referred to Hillary as America's version of Angela Merkel.
Good. Yeah, he mentioned that the other day, too, I think. Trump has made another major change in the campaign management. Trump has been running things himself. The last Manafort, who is gone now, and he replaced Manafort with two superb people who want Trump to continue to be Trump. There were others in the campaign trying to remake him, reshape him into a different kind of a person, basically making him into a professional politician in his image. And he said, no, I'm going to lose as Donald Trump, not as some hybrid construct that you people want. I'm paraphrasing all this. I wasn't there.
Yeah. But
he's going to continue to be Donald Trump. And I hope he begins to talk directly about Hillary Clinton's health, which, as you have seen, I'm sure, is not only bad, it's frightfully bad. And I'm going to repeat this. I'm a very, very compassionate person. I have no compassion whatsoever for that creature. After what she did in Iraq with her husband, killing over 500,000 babies, women, and children. Look, this woman is a murderess. She's a monster. Okay,
somebody referred to her as the Hilda Beast.
That's D.V. Kidd calls her the Hilda Beast.
Oh, okay.
The bottom line is, I'll say one more thing. You can see the video, I have it up in headlines, of, for some reason, Hillary went to Joe Biden's childhood home. It was a photo op. Well, to get her from the curbside, it's a two-story older house with a porch and some steps going up. They had to put a railing from the street to the steps where there was a hand railing already there, or she couldn't have walked it. She literally can't walk without support. And when she was inside, some carefully chosen video was also uploaded by the Associated Press, which showed her in the kitchen and dining area of Joe Biden's childhood home. And I watched, and in every second she was in that kitchen, she was leaning on something with a hand. She had a hand on a chair. She had a hand on a table. That woman is a marvel of modern pharmacology. I'm sure they're giving her amphetamines to get her up so she can perform. She had the tongue excision, which I think you may have seen. I got the before and after pictures of her tongue showing a tumor, and then the tumor gone with a perfectly circle hole left in its wake. This is a cancerous excision. There's a lot. Anyway, we could spend an hour on that, but that's not what we're here for.
Like I said, I didn't mean to digress from our main course.
And the main course, again, go to guests at Rents on the left-hand side. Look for Harry's name and click under Harry right where it says photos. And you can I'll give you a minute or so to do that, and we will get going. What about your next trip to Argentina?
I'm waiting to hear back from some people down there in Brazil, the lower part of Brazil, and I'm ready to go back at the drop of a hat, because there's some more things to be discussed. There's also a fella who I met almost a year ago who's in his middle to late 70s, and he and his mother, I think I mentioned it on your show before, they were very high up. The mother and her husband were very high up in the Reich, and he has an incredible story behind him, but now suddenly he's gone silent. So sometime, I think maybe in the next week, I'm going to send out a hot mail to everybody on the list with several photos of him to see if anybody recognizes him.
This is the mystery guy that is afraid to talk.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah, and, I wish you and I could sit down with him for a half an hour. I think we could get him to talk between the two of us. I know you tried, but...
Yeah, and he even told our mutual friend who has been just helping him, you know, a good Christian lady, she has just helped him, because the guy was destitute and just in a horrible shape. He shook hands with her, and he swore that he would open up. He's got, I think she said, two chests full of photographs, and she's seen some of them, one with him and his mother when he was about 20 or so, down in Bolivia at their coffee plantation, and Jackie Onassis was there with her kids, and also another one where the president of
what
Bolivia,
a coincidence.
Yeah, a hell of a coincidence. And the president of Bolivia came to their plantation and saw pictures of those. But, you know, I wouldn't press it if he'd have just said, hey, go away. But he
keeps baiting you. Just, I know.
Right, and it, but then he told my friend that he was going to open up. He shook hands with her, gave her his word, and I was ready to book a flight down there, and then all of a sudden, nope, I'm not talking. So,
if you can ever get him to do the right thing, and just explain to him that none of us are getting any younger, don't take it with you. You owe it to the world. You owe it to all of the people on both sides of the war who gave their lives fighting. You owe it to them to present history as it really was, as you knew it, as you were able to experience it. You owe it to all of us. And he does.
His health is not the best.
Okay. All right. Well, what we need to do, and if he'll ever come around, we need to send a videographer down there with you, a film crew.
Yeah.
They call it two people. It's all you need. A couple cameras set up, and just get him to start talking. And you can
cameraman and a sound man.
It's all you need. And it would be an amazing documentary. And if anyone listening wants to fund it, I'm sure Harry wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind. Nope.
No. This is something that would be another extraordinary thing. Oh, this week, one of Goebbels' secretaries is still alive. I sent you the story.
Yeah, she turned 100, what,
105.
105, wow.
105.
105.
Yep. And she joined his coterie of secretaries. I think she said there were 10 or 11 of them when she was 30 or 31 in 1942, I think. And you can check the math, but I'm close. And she told, well, it was just like another job. It was just a lot of work, and I think she's understating it a bit. But, of course, Goebbels and his wife and five children all died after the war. Remember, don't forget that, folks.
Don't bet on it.
Never, yes. That's the punchline.
Don't bet on it.
I'm not.
These people down in Brazil, they seem to believe they have proof that Magda and Holdeen were down there. And Magda was friends with this mystery guy's mother from Berlin all the way down there. And then they tried to get this mystery guy and Holdeen to fall in love.
Marry off,
Yeah, but he said she was kind of a beast. And it turned out that she had been experimented on with Dr. Carl Vernet, the guy who was installing monkeys nuts in homosexuals to try to cure them of being homosexual. And so he was doing a lot of work with Holdeen too, and so she became
a beast
or something. Huge, big, ugly person, and so he didn't want to have anything to do with her. So
sounds like he never got over it. Maybe he needs some therapy. It's okay. She's gone now. Don't worry. She's not coming after you if you talk.
No, she's been dead for quite some time.
Yeah, but sounds like she was walking around in that condition.
Yes, yeah. not a very happy life.
Yeah. Look, there's so much that that we can learn and always do when we get together here. It's just fascinating. And do load those photos up, and we'll go now, and might as well get started and take a little walk through contemporary history, as it were, right now, but it's still historic. It's amazing how much is survived and was reconstructed and is still there. You know, and I got to say one other thing politically. When one thinks that just, 75 years ago, Germany stood on top of the world in terms of technology, the arts, the sciences, industry, brilliance, social order. Hitler had just been put on the cover of Time for the Time magazine for the third time for the modern economic miracle that he worked on Weimar Germany, which was utterly destroyed after World War I, financially, spiritually, morally. What the man did can't be taken away from him. What he did after that in the war, that's your choice. But in the 30s, he took a country that was a pile of wreckage and literally rebirthed it, led the rebirth of it. Look at the 1936 Olympics. And trail it from that. The country 6 years before that was a pile of garbage. And now, 75 years later, look where it is today. The treasonous traitor Angela Merkel, the equally treasonous, traitorous, treacherous president of Germany, I forget his name, and what they have done to that country, its heritage, its people. And Germany is not the only one. All of Europe, the same thing. They are flooding it with Muslims who literally are genetically configured to kill. This is what they're told to do. Kill everyone who doesn't believe in Islam. They are going around now all over Europe and in Britain in rape gangs because they know the governments will not discipline them. They're getting off with a slap on the wrist. The stupid Swedes are the dumbest of the dumb, dumber than dirt. What they're doing is giving their women, who are all at risk, wristbands saying, please don't touch us. And that's supposed to stop the rapes. Honest to God, Harry. Now, let me say one other thing, and this is my program. You're not saying this, so I'm speaking just
right,
for me.
Because I'm going to Germany in a couple of weeks. I don't want to wind up in prison.
This isn't Germany. This has to do with, look, the German people, I would bet most of them don't agree with what's going on in their country.
I'll bet that when I'm over there.
Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. If Hillary Clinton succeeds in carrying forward with Barack Obama's plan to flood this country with Muslim immigrants, they're not all Syrian refugees. Don't buy that for a second. Many of them come from Sudan, Somalia. They're black Africans, others from the Middle East. They're all kinds of people. If he succeeds and then she succeeds in bringing them over here, there will be rape gangs roaming the length and breadth of this country. No American women, no American female children will be safe. They will be raped routinely, like it's going on in Europe. There are dozens of rape gangs in the UK. Nothing is being done to put them away for long periods of time or discipline them properly. We will have the same fate here. So if you care about your women and you ladies out there, if you have children or grandchildren, don't let this happen. The Muslim religion considers you and all females who are not Muslim to be lower than cattle, to be fit for nothing more than to be sex slaves and abused as a piece of meat. Hillary Clinton will not tell you this. She pretends otherwise. That's all.
Okay. Remember, folks, he said it, not me.
No, I'm speaking for myself, and there is
I'm
a choice here.
I don't agree.
Well, you don't have to
disagree,
say anything.
But
we have a clear choice here. We vote for the future sanctity of our country, or we vote for its death. It's that simple. And if you don't vote, you're voting for Hillary.
Yes.
If you vote for the Greens, you're voting for Hillary. If you vote Libertarian, you're voting for Hillary. This has to be an overwhelming vote for Donald Trump. He's flawed. We're all flawed. Who isn't flawed? He's not a polished, perfect political figure. Thank God. All right. I got the pictures loaded up here, Maestro, so let's go for a walk.
So I was having so much fun listening to your editorial there.
Ah, sorry. Get carried away. I've never seen anything like
fine.
It. So.
Well, when you and I get together on the phone, we always have the same kind of conversations.
Yeah.
Okay. These are. This is a step back a little bit into time, a little bit into history here, and of course, this is a special effort because I know the Spitlickers will be watching. For those of you who don't know, Spitlickers is our term for the Southern Poverty Law Center, who thinks I'm a Nazi, which I am not.
Oh, they think I'm that and then some, so don't worry.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, print one. It just seems like a bunch of people having a nice time, and that's basically what it was. You see the people in the near table with musical instruments and, of course, the ever-present beer. And at the next table back, everybody's eating corn on the cob, or as they call it over there, maize. Corn to them is wheat, rye, barley.
Mm-hmm.
But maize is corn. Okay. This is a beautiful, beautiful guest house on the side of a mountain down in southern Bavaria up in the Alps. So if you click to photo number 2 in my primitive attempts at computerizing, over on the left side you'll see that black rectangle there, the thin black rectangle.
On the wall?
Yeah, I put that there to show it was, you're supposed to look at that. Well, then you go to photo number 3, and I at least figured out how to make the arrow work. And it's pointing at the same thing. What is
I
that?
See.
That is, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, that is one of the rooms, one of the small dining rooms inside the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
More private, probably about, 4 meters by 4 meters. That is where Hitler used to meet with Dietrich Eckart. A lot of people think Hitler founded the party, the NSDAP, but that's not correct. He was member number 7, and the founder was Dietrich Eckart. And Eckart's home was close by this area, and so Hitler would come here and meet with Dietrich Eckart, who some say was his mentor. Now, we try to get here on every patrol when we're in southern Germany, and we're going to try to do that again this time. I never promise it because conditions sometimes change, but they have the musicians, and they have awesome food there, and then they let us go into that little room and take photos of the little room because it's historical. And the view, I didn't get any photos uploaded of the view, but the panorama around there is just breathtaking in Bavaria.
Well, you can look over the top of the building in the third picture and get an idea.
Right. In Bavaria and in Austria, you can't mm-hmm. take a bad photo,
mm-hmm.
You can't get a bad beer, and you can't get a bad meal. It's just incredible.
What's that beer taste like, that dark beer?
I'm not a big fan of dark beer, so I stay away from Dunkelbier. I just get the Pils, you know.
Pilsner.
Yeah, that's right, but you call it Pils over mm-hmm. there. So the Dunkelbier, you know, some guys like it. I'm not a big fan. I'm not a very good Irishman. I never drank beer. And back in the days when I was drinking, I'd go through an awful lot of Canadian Club. But when I was driving race cars, my crew called me Half Can Harry because if I had half a can of beer, I'd be dancing on the table with a lampshade on my head.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed away from beer.
In the little room, by the way, real quick, is it preserved as it was in the 30s?
Well, it had been up until about a year ago. New owners took over, and now it still looks the same,
mm-hmm.
but people can sit in there and eat now. Used to be it was pretty much off limits.
Uh-huh, okay.
Back,
all right.
But then it got sold. So then we scroll down a little more, and this was just...
Picture number four.
Four, right. Some of the people that were on that group sitting out in front of that building.
There's me and Harry right there.
There's Harry.
Well, there's Jeff.
And Jeff Carson.
Oh, that's not me. No.
That's not you. No, this is a guy named Jeff Carson, and we call him the Tunnel King because if the Germans built a tunnel or a bunker or a structure, Jeff knows where it's at, knows how to find it. And this guy, he's not a big guy. Don't start walking with this guy because he'll tell you, hey, there's a nice little restaurant. We're going to have lunch. Let's go there. Okay, fine. 6 miles away up a mountain. No, Jeff, let's take the car. Well, yeah, but it's... I walked with this guy, and he is in, he's close to 60 now, I think, and this guy's in fantastic shape. Chris and Daryl, those are both guys, they work in modeling shops, model airplanes, cars, trucks, whatever, back on the East Coast. Priscilla, we threw her out of Shark Hunters. She and we had a bit of a difference of opinion, and she sent a Trojan horse to me and to Jeff on our computers.
Not clever.
No, not very friendly at all. So that's the place there. It's, I'm not even going to mention the name because I don't want to cause them any trouble. But the former owner, he had owned it for a long, long time. And the first time we were there, I started to go into that room and he's telling me, no, Kanine gang, don't go in. And I said, I asked him in my halting German, das war Zimmer mit Adolf und Eckhart. You know, is that the room for Hitler and Eckhart? And he nodded his head, yeah. And then he let us go in and take photos, and that was it. Very nice man, but he sold the place.
Do we have those photos still around?
I've got them, yeah.
Somewhere in the warehouse.
No, they're up on the computer somewhere.
All right.
I have the backup.
The furniture's different. It's not the same furniture as it was. Is it?
Yeah, the red and white gingham check.
But I mean, not the original 1930s furniture.
Oh, no, I don't know.
The table and chairs would have been replaced. Okay, hold on. We're going to run into the break here. Picture number five is next. Nice
that's
looking.
A different location.
Yeah, nice looking. Strange oval entrance. We'll find out what that's about with Harry in just a couple minutes. Sharkhunters.com is a location for a treasury of history and insight into our past that is rapidly being forgotten and rewritten by folks who don't like reality. Be back in a minute. Hang on.